Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. In just a few moments, we'll be introducing our in-studio guest. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 147, beginning at verse 1. Psalm 147, starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Verses 1 through 20. All of Psalm 147, and then going on to Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the book of Psalms. And thank you, Lord, for the worship book your book of Psalms really, really is. And thank you for how that this particular book teaches us more and more to worship you, to praise you, to lift up your name. Thank you, Father, for the many ways that this book, along with all the rest of your word, blesses us, encourages, and stirs our heart to draw closer and closer to you. Father, anoint us afresh today with the spirit of worship. Help us to be a worshiping people that worship you for your goodness, for your grace, for the creation all around us, the things you allow us to see, to touch, to feel, to hear, to smell, to taste. Thank you, Lord, for being the generous Heavenly Father who blesses us so many ways every day. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind you once again that we're in the midst of a very important campaign, a campaign entitled Open the Floodgates. We're doing this along in conjunction with Bible League International. Let's open the floodgates and pour God's word more and more onto the continent of Africa. We invite you to partner with us and Bible League International to share the gift of the Word of God. Only 1 in 10 believers on the continent of Africa have his or her own copy of a Bible. 50 million Christians in Africa lack their own Bible. They're in need of the Word of God in much greater measure. And we'd like to invite you to partner with us along with the Bible League International to do just that. Your gift of $5 can help transform the life of an individual who receives one of those Bibles. The goal is that we provide at least 15,000 Bibles. And for keep this in mind. Again, if you'd like to be a part of that, we invite you to call this number, 1-800-YES-WORD. Again, that's 1-800-YES-WORD. And partner with us to help accomplish this goal of getting 15,000 Bibles to the wonderful people of that continent, the continent of Africa. Again, also you can give online by visiting AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. $25 gives 5 Bibles. $50 provides 10 Bibles. $100 provides 20 Bibles. Join the Bible League International and us, and it'll help us to get this important, to accomplish this important goal of bringing at least 15,000 Bibles to the people of the continent of Africa. Once again, that number is 1-800-YES-WORD. Again, that's 1-800-YES-WORD. We're grateful to have in studio once again with us Evangelist Herdisine Gori. And she is an author, she's a photographer, she's a mom, she's a grandmom, she's a wife, she's many, many things. Welcome, Evangelist Herdisine. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
It's good to have you once again.
Thank you for asking me back.
Well, it's always good to have you. And, of course, I would mention that really appreciative of how the Lord uses you in your ministry of evangelism to really bless and help us ministry-wise. And it's good for us to know, too, you know, one of our goals on this program is to encourage believers to make prayer and intercession a bigger part of their life and their lifestyle. And so this is one of those truths that I by the grace of the Lord, hope that more and more every listener will grow in their understanding of, that there's so much more God will do in the life of any believer that will make prayer and intercession a bigger part of what they do and the way they live. On any given day, God stands ready to do so many more things for us if we would just pray more.
Yes.
And so it's good for us to be knowledgeable about that. And again, appreciate just the work God has called you to today. And as we start off, I want you to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. Some people may remember the other programs you're on, and they may not. So I want you to reintroduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, as you said, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a grandmother. I'm just a little of everything that the Lord have called me to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that. And also, the ministry that we have is the Night Watch ministry that concentrate on deliverance, prayer, healing. And we work with women that's broken. We work with men that are broken. We work with children that mm-hmm. are broken. And so we just like to get the word out to different people that prayer will solve our problems.
Praise God. Praise God. And of course, I know in the past, on more than one occasion, you've shared about the ministry you had specifically to help individuals, women, especially women, but women and men who've been down the tragic road of abortion, who are struggling
yes.
with forgiveness. Many times, people who've received God's forgiveness but haven't forgiven themselves. You know,
that's correct.
So, and there's such a huge need for that because there's so many people out there who've gone down that road who just haven't really received the healing and the forgiveness that Jesus freely offers to them then. So,
and that's a problem with so many because, like you said, God has forgiven them, but they are not forgiving themselves, and they are held bound in so many different things, and it's as if they're in a self-prison, mm-hmm. and they can't move on. So God has called me to do that also, mm-hmm. and doing the surrender the secret, the Bible study.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have that? The surrendering the secret, that Bible study, is that an ongoing Bible study?
Well, it is if a person wanted to be, because okay. it's never ending. Hmm. Because sometimes, you know, even when we stop praying and we leave the study, everything then come back. Hmm. And so it's a constant thing that we have to stay in prayer and be reminded that God is the forgiver of our sins.
Right, right. Well, if someone wants to get in touch with Night Watch Ministries or get in touch with you and maybe connect with some of the ministries you're a part of, or just be in touch with you, how would they do that?
The address is 207 Road 1203, Nelaton, Mississippi, and that zip is 38858. And the phone number is 662-963-2776 or 662-963-3805.
All righty then. And before we're done, I'll let you repeat that again so somebody may have missed it. They'll be able to catch it the
okay.
next go round then. So now you're, again, amongst other things, you're an author as well. And today we wanted to kind of focus somewhat on your book, My Daily Adventures with God. Now, is this the first book you wrote?
That's the first one.
first book you've read, the first of maybe many, many, many more to come. Then,
hopefully,
I guess,
so.
Yeah. Okay. And how long ago did you write this book?
I started writing that book in 2006,
mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was published and came out in 2008.
All righty then. Well, tell us the story about what led you to write this particular book.
Well, you know, you asked me the first of the week one word that I would use about this book,
mm-hmm.
and I said metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis, okay.
And, you know, it sounds strange, but, you know, a butterfly never comes unless it goes through different stages.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we want to just step on that little worm that's crawling.
Mm-hmm.
And during the process of this book, matter of fact, I didn't even look at it as being a book. All mm-hmm. I know, I was going through a struggle. I was going through a struggle of illness. I was going through a struggle of bitterness,
mm-hmm.
non-forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
whining. And the list just went on and on and on.
Because you used to be a school teacher then.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did. And love teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to come out unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
I had to come out because of illness.
Mm-hmm.
And at that particular time, I just thought it was nothing else I could do. And mm-hmm. I was just questioning God, why did you bring me out? What will I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point that I went into depression that I wasn't even buying the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the clothes that I had, I would look at them and I would think, what am I going to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to wear this? I have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, I realized I had made teaching my job, my God,
mm-hmm.
rather than letting God have control of me. I was using that as my God. And I realized that later on because I put it before everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started with this book, it really wasn't a book, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
All I know, I was going through a hard time. Mm-hmm. I felt that I was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I was in prison in my own bitterness and my own whining and my own pain.
Was much of that directed towards God because of what you'd been through, would you say?
You know, at the time, I didn't really realize that it was, but I think it was. It really mm. was. Because I was questioning him, why?
Mm.
Why me? Why do people do this to me? Why mm-hmm. do people do that to me?
Mm.
And then one day, he said, go out. Get a camera.
Mm-hmm.
I took a photography class.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got a camera. I couldn't afford a very good camera. So I went and got a $30 camera.
You got a real camera, not a cell phone, but a camera.
All right, exactly. I got a real camera. But it was a little $30 camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to hold it down so long before it would take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
But he let me use that. And as I was walking and taking pictures of different things, God just started speaking to me.
Through nature.
Through nature.
Hmm.
Through nature. And one of the things, like I said, metamorphosis, I was that worm once again. And I was in that cocoon, and I couldn't hear anything, couldn't see anything but what mm-hmm. I was surrounded with.
Well, I'm going to jump in right here. We're coming up on a break, but I'm going to take a quick moment to pray. But I really want you to really open that up a little bit more on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Father, thank you, Lord, for Evangelist Herdesine. Lord, thank you for the unique way in which you've used her to speak through to her and speak to others through nature. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you speak to all of us through nature in some wonderful ways. Lord, help us to have ears to hear as you speak through your word, by your spirit, through the world around us as well. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our in-studio guest today is Evangelist Herdesine Gorey, author, mom, wife, and many other things too. We'll be right back after this break.
I believe one of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative and they're spending time in games and pornography and the culture is vomiting this out, and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Life is never picture perfect. Human beings come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and abilities. No matter how much we plan, no matter how much we think we're prepared, the unplanned happens all the time. It's how we respond to the unexpected that shows our true humanity. But many do not see the value of every human life. Too many are willing to discard those who don't fit the picture of perfection. Abortion destroys the chance to love and to be loved. We never know what will fill the frames of our lives or how empty those frames can be when we allow exceptions.
Learn more at www.radiance.life.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Fred Hammond, the song Let the Praise Begin. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest today is evangelist Herdiseen Gori. And today we're looking at her book, the book entitled My Daily Adventures with God. And it's a powerful book that shares some very good insights about God speaking to her and speaking to us through nature as well. So you were still introducing the book before we had to interrupt there on before the break. Can you pick up where you left off there?
Yes, I was saying that it was a metamorphosis that I had to go through. Mm-hmm. And the first part of the book, it would mention about a butterfly, mm-hmm. and how a butterfly is not beautiful at first. Mm-hmm. It's an ugly worm in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's what people would call the worm, ugly.
Right.
They want to step on it. Mm-hmm. So at that particular time, it was as if I was just crawling as low as I could get, mm-hmm. just crawling on my belly, and was stuck in that cocoon trying to get out. Mm-hmm. And then in the process, when God started showing me the butterfly in that cocoon, mm-hmm. with each thing that he would show me, I would have to go into the scripture mm-hmm. and find it. Then I will go and look it up and see if the natural blended with the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started looking it up and seeing the metamorphosis of a butterfly, it connected with me being born again.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that caterpillar comes out, it has to push out everything in it in mm-hmm. order to fly, mm-hmm. everything that's not useful, mm-hmm. and it pushes it out. And then it has some type of little coating that looked like blood that's covering that mm-hmm. butterfly before it comes out. Mm-hmm. And everything, just the blood of Jesus, cover us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, when I came out of that cocoon, mm-hmm. I was able to fly. But then in the process, God had to start showing me other things to keep my wings strong.
Mm-hmm. And that's neat to think how the Lord, and of course, God is teaching all the time. But beautiful just to see how he taught you lots of truths as you walked and just observed nature then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so if you had to guess how many pictures you've taken in, make a wild guess.
Well, right now, right now in the last month, mm-hmm. I have about 3,000.
3,000, okay.
3,000 in my memory card on one camera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is just in a month's time. And over the years, I can't even count them.
Right.
I tell you, I took so many. Whenever mm-hmm. I would go in to have them develop, I would go to the one hour development at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go in so often, they knew me by name.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever right. I would go, they would know me by name because I would have that many developed. That's when I was using films.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got started using my memory card,
mm-hmm.
I just have a box stacked
right.
up. So I can't even count how many I have.
Right. Well, you know, I even, like earlier this morning before having you on the broadcast, I put on Facebook one of the ones that you'd sent. And, of course, you allow people to use them on Facebook
yes.
quite a bit. Then, if somebody would like to get some to put on their Facebook, how would they get in touch with you to do that?
It's under Hurtis Singh Gauri. And that's okay. the only thing they have to do.
Okay.
Hurtis Singh Gauri and everything is right there.
Mm, that's good. That's
and
good.
The thing about it, you know, a lot of times people say, can I share this? Well, it's not mad to keep.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one that have shown me what to take.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that wakes me up in the morning telling me what to put on it. So it's not mine to keep.
And, you know, that's an interesting truth about photography and art, too. Art is largely capturing or imitating what God has done.
Exactly.
And God is the greatest artist, too.
Exactly.
And so when we take pictures, you know, of course, some artists make huge amounts of money from pictures they take. They're taking pictures of what God did. But God created.
Exactly.
And they're benefiting from it.
Exactly.
You know? So, but it's beautiful just catching a moment of what God created and catching it at one particular moment in time. And it's beautiful to see. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I tell you another thing, that a lot of time God will not allow you to even capture
mm-hmm.
what he showed you.
That's true.
And sometimes he will. A lot mm-hmm. of time he won't.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when a photographer takes a picture of a sunset, it can be beautiful on the picture. But it's still not quite the same as when you saw it for real.
Exactly.
And there also, too, a beautiful thing about it's good for us to take time and thank God for the beautiful things we see outside, because it's not just a nice pastime. It blesses us to bless God.
Yes.
It blesses us to give God thanks and praise. It stirs us. It causes grace to pour into our lives in greater measure. So it's just like Psalm 92 says, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, almost die.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And when we go out and we look at what God is doing,
mm-hmm.
he speaks to us. He's not silent.
That's right.
And he just can guide us through the day just by looking at a flower floating in the air.
Mm-hmm. That's
he
true.
Speaks.
And a powerful thing about nature, too, is that, like, on any given day, sometimes maybe you look up in the sky and maybe you see a beautiful formation in the clouds. You may be the only person in the universe that saw that particular scene at that moment, and God knew you'd see it.
Exactly.
And when we take time to just thank God for just the ability to see beautiful things in the sky, God appreciates it. And when we don't say thank you, God notices it too. So
yes.
we need to know it's good to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing for us. It's a good. It blesses the heart of God, and it blesses our lives when we're grateful people.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
That's. I tell you, let's go ahead and really start looking specifically at some of the chapters in your book. Again, the title of your book is My Daily Adventures with God. Now, why did you select that as your title, My Daily Adventures with God?
Because he was taking me on an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me through 33 days of healing, 33 days of bitterness, 33 days in order to forgive, 33 days in order for me to ask for forgiveness. So it was a process. He was taking me on the journey. Mm-hmm. And the days I didn't want to go, I had to go.
So, he wanted you to go anyhow.
He wanted me to go. No matter if it would rain, I would still have to go. It was my adventure. He was walking with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we start kind of going through the book, would you pray for our listeners? Pray that they'll grasp some of the truths that God opened to your mind and your heart as he took you on this adventure.
Right now, Holy Spirit, we just come before you right now. And there are so many people that's bound, and they think they're that worm that's crawling so low on the ground. They are stuck in that cocoon. And Lord, right now, I'm asking you to open their spiritual eyes, their spiritual heart, touch them in a mighty way, in a special way, that they can see you through nature. They can hear you through the things they hear. They can see you with just the movement of the clouds. And right now, Father, this is what we are asking in your name, because you're with us no matter where we go. In your holy name, I pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, as we start off, I'm going to just share a part. I'm going to read directly from this chapter, and I'm going to ask you to pick up and kind of open that up. But on chapter 1 is entitled Invisible Things. Proverbs 15, verses 3 and 4 say, "The Lord sees everything, whether good or bad. Kind words are good medicine, but deceitful words can really hurt. The word of the Lord came to me one day as I was walking from the mailbox. The Lord directed my eyes to notice one of the many trees which had been pruned earlier of its lower limbs. As I looked even closer, I noticed how the cut limbs had scabbed over and had healed themselves from the cuts. The year the trees were cut, the limbs bled with tree sap like a human wound bleeds blood when it's first cut. But to my amazement, the limbs had grown a protected cover to heal themselves." Would you pick up and just kind of share a little bit more about just what the Lord was saying through that instance?
Well, from 1998... to 2002, I had surgery every year. And the last surgery I had, I was just so weak. It took me all summer to get over it. And so in the process, still that bitterness was there, that non-forgiveness was there, the whining was there. I thought I was not going to make it out. And God, when I walked to the mailbox, it was time for my healing to come forth. I didn't know it, but he knew it. And as I was walking, he just directed my eyes to the trees. And I started looking at how those limbs had taken on a protective cover. And then he started speaking, "Why don't you let me heal you?" I healed the trees. And then I said, "Lord, but you know you can't heal me because they, this person did this to me and that person did this to me, and I just can't get over it." And he said, "Look at the trees. I heal them. Let me heal you of the years that you were cut. Let me heal you just like I've healed the trees." And that's when I started taking notice to everything.
And so in each one, when the Lord would reveal a truth like that, again, and one of the wonderful things about God is when God opens up truth to us, he helps us to move into that truth.
Yes.
To put that truth to work in our lives.
Yes.
If we cooperate with him. God doesn't force anything.
That's it. That's it. Because in that chapter, I also mentioned he will not impose on our will. He knew my heart was ready. He knew what he was going to do with me. And so I was willing to accept it.
That's good. And, you know, I think of this too, Evangelist Hurtison. It's good for us to understand truth is meant to be applied. And, you know, when we learn truths and, you know, often in church circles and in the church, we will learn truths, but too often believers do nothing with it. Truth is not meant to be learned just to say, "I learned it." God wants us to apply it because there's blessing in applying truth.
Yes.
Now, truth is good all by itself, but it's meant to be applied because it opens up opens up our life to greater fruitfulness and for God to do something new in us and through us. And we become a greater blessing to the world, but to learn it and do nothing with it, it's really in many ways, that's a tragedy.
And it is, because if I hadn't put this on paper, matter of fact, I was just walking. But he would have me to go in each night and type what he had shown me. Mm-hmm. And a Mennonites, I didn't want to do it, but I had to. And like I said, I was just keeping notes of everything. Mm-hmm. I was just keeping notes. I was keeping pictures and thought nothing about it. Mm-hmm. And then it was just a check in my spirit. Compile this. Mm-hmm. Let others know that I can heal them the same way.
That's right. And that's a beautiful side about as it relates to our testimony is that, you know, every believer has a testimony. Every testimony is powerful.
Yes.
And it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when we share our testimony, God will use it in ways that are far beyond our ability to understand. The important thing is not so much, because some believers make the mistake of saying, well, I have a boring testimony because I never did anything. Well, no, that's a powerful testimony all by itself. Yes. Thank God that God kept you from going through all sorts of troublesome, hellish experiences by his grace.
Exactly.
And so everybody's testimony is worth listening to, and it's powerful, but we're supposed to share it. We're not supposed to keep it cooped up inside of us. We need to share it. And to everybody listening, share your testimony more, because it's meant. The Bible lets us know they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Put your testimony to work.
Yes.
So praise God.
Because you can take that testimony. Someone would think there's no hope. Mm-hmm. Someone would think that I'm so bound with bitterness, I'm so bound with hatred, I will never come out of it. Mm-hmm. But they got to know there's a light there.
That's right.
And God is a light, and he doesn't want any of us bound in a cocoon, because, you know, even with a butterfly, if you contain it within a jar, mm-hmm. it can't fly.
That's right.
If you pull out the leg, the very last part of the leg before it comes out of the cocoon, mm-hmm. it will be crippled. So, see, no one could pull me out of it. No medicine could take me out of it. God had to deliver me out of it. Mm. And that's what took place.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, there's one other paragraph I'm going to share. And I want you just to really kind of expand on this. It's on page 13. It says, my whining is no more. My pity party is now a prayer gathering. Joy is my makeup. Thanksgiving replaced my whining. Prayer is my daily pill. Healing scriptures are my daily clothing. Belief in the power of God is my covering. Joining my husband's hands in prayer is my battering ram against the enemy. But most importantly, pleading the blood of Jesus daily washes me clean and keeps me covered from Satan's attacks. Why don't you expound on that?
But what happened before that, if you will read it, it says I was going to a daily pity party, but mm-hmm. I was the only one there. Mm-hmm. And so in the process,
a whole lot of folks experience that, huh?
Exactly. And see, when you mm-hmm. have a pity party, no mm-hmm. one else is coming.
Lord, definitely the Lord's not coming.
No. And what took place, I was taking a handful of pills, mm-hmm. three blood pressure pills, mm-hmm. pills for the nerves in my hand, pills to calm me down, pills to help me to sleep. Pills for this, pills for that. And I used to say, by the time I would finish taking the pill, I would be full. I couldn't eat breakfast because I was taking so many pills.
So many pills. Yeah.
And so when I start walking through this, mm-hmm. the pills start leaving.
Mm-hmm. You slowly no longer needed them.
Exactly.
Mm. Praise God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so scriptures became my medicine. Mm. Serving God and listening to him became my healing.
Amen. Amen. And that's in line with Proverbs. It lets us know God's word is medicine.
Yes.
Medicine for our bodies, yes. as well as our spirit and our soul, too.
Yes. And I tell you, joy came in. Mm-hmm. Pity left out.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, I think of, too, Evangelist heard a scene, too. It's good for us to know God's word is a source of power, joy, healing, and so much more. We need to open it up and just read it more and more. And so many miss out on so much because they just don't read and meditate on God's word consistently.
Exactly. Hmm.
We're coming up on a break here. Our in-studio guest is Evangelist Herdesine Gorey, and we're talking about her book entitled My Daily Adventures with God. We'll be right back.
In case you missed it.
Well, I wear my expressions on my face, so Dainty C would know right off if she says something that I don't like. Okay.
And it could, you know, on my part, it may not even be intentional.
But what if your husband's face is always serious? I never know.
But no, you got that face. Every husband has that disapproval face.
Yeah, they do. Y'all do.
No.
That's ridiculous.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "The sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do." In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for His service. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. But Dr. Tony Evans says that the first Adam bore more of a resemblance to someone else, as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
God paralleled the exact situation with man that he had with Lucifer. Lucifer was created a perfect being with choice. Adam was created a perfect being with choice. Adam's homestead was called Eden. Ezekiel 28 says Lucifer's homestead was called Eden. Adam was the one who was to oversee all of God's then creation. Lucifer was the one who was to oversee all of God's angelic creation. Man is to oversee all of God's human creation. Lucifer had direct access to God in the mountain of God. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. An exact parallel. So you say, but if God is God then, and he's greater, why did he allow Satan to do what he does? God wanted to show him, I'm so great that I can get somebody less than you and do better. I am so great that I can take less and make more. And by the way, that's true of your life and my life too.
Stop being a victim of the spiritual battle going on around you. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll show you how to break the bonds Satan uses to keep us down, including traps like substance abuse or sexual, emotional, or relational issues. Get a copy of Victory in Spiritual Warfare today by visiting us at TonyEvans.org. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Forever Jones, the song Every Moment. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Evangelist Herdecine Gorey, and she's also the author of the book My Daily Adventures with God, and we're kind of looking at that book today. And I tell you, Evangelist Herdecine, share with our listeners once again, if they'd like to get a copy of the book or just get in touch with your ministry and learn more about the outreach ministries that you're a part of, how would they do that?
The address is 207 Road 1203, Nelaton, Mississippi, 38858. or the phone number is 662-963-2776 or 963-3805. And also they can contact me on my Facebook page.
Okay. Okay then. And so if they're interested in getting a copy of the book, they can just get in touch with you and do that.
Correct.
Okay. All righty then. Okay then. As we look further in the book, there's another chapter entitled "Living My Own Words," and I'm gonna just share a little bit, and I want you to again expound on that further. Then this is chapter 10, "Living My Own Words." Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving me the will to live what I speak. Today is disappointing to me, but I remember your word. Fear not, because I am always with you. Thank you, Father, for walking with me today and all the days when I am feeling down. You are my strength and guide. I know I can do nothing without you, and nothing can be done against me because you are my shield in the times of sorrow, in the times of storm. Father, forgive me for worrying when I know you take care of me, when I do not know where to turn. Father, thank you for these many blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, would you expound a little bit more upon that chapter, Living My Own Words?
Well, I had promised God that I was turning everything over to him, that I would not worry because he was taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. And then I got a disappointing letter in the mail. And when I got the disappointing letter, I was just so upset, and I started worrying, and I started whining. So once again, he pulled me back and reminded me that he takes care of me. So I had to ask for forgiveness for whining because I knew he was my keeper. And he took me out once again to let me look at nature. And I think, I believe at that particular time, I was looking at the birds and how he was taking care of them. And they were, I had bird feeders out, and how they would come and eat, never worried about anything. And they would fly up, and then they would fly down, and they would sit on the limbs, and they would sing, and they never worried. So I had to ask him for forgiveness once again.
You know, and that's a powerful picture. Interesting to think of the idea of looking at birds, though, because part of what comes to my mind is blackbirds in the winter. And that, to me, is a tremendous mystery because it can be so cold. And they'll be outside like it's no big deal. And they have such skinny little legs. And you wonder, how in the world do they survive?
Exactly.
And sometimes in the winter, you can see them, small birds that play in the water when it's freezing outside. But God knows how to take care of them.
Exactly, exactly. So if he takes care of them, and as he showed me, if he was taking care of them, I knew my tiny little problem was taken care of. So I had to live what I was speaking.
And that's a great reminder, too, because, again, we can allow ourselves to be consumed with worry and fear if we let ourselves. We can worry about anything.
Exactly.
And in the course of a day, 100 worries can run across our mind. And if we allow it to ruin our day or make our day so difficult, and so many times, some of them are things you basically may not be able to do much of anything about.
Exactly.
But all of them are things we can pray about and say, God, I just put this in your hands.
Exactly. And in the process of living my words, once again, I was worrying. And worrying had caused me to stop breathing. Because I was worrying myself to death, and I stopped breathing. And I had promised, God, you restored my breath. I'm trusting you. Because worry can bring on so many other things, because you open up a door. And when you open up that door with worry, and then the bitterness has come in, and then another little old spirit will come in, and then another little spirit will come in, and then fear come in, and it just consumes the whole thing, and it comes in like it's a great big old, you're living in a tiny, tiny little cocoon, and you're just a little spot with everything else around you that's destroying you.
That's right. That's right. And it brings in my mind the scripture in 2 Timothy 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Exactly.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. And to trust God, our nature and our spirit lends itself to trusting God, again, if we'll cooperate.
Exactly.
If we'll lean on walking in the wisdom of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to help us.
Exactly.
But it's good to know his name is the helper, not the doer.
Exactly.
He's not going to make us do anything.
He will not impose on our will. And a lot of people will look at this and say, well, I just can't see anything in that. I just going to see what you're talking about. Well, one thing, you hadn't allowed God to open your spiritual eyes. Because you have your spiritual eyes has to be open along with your natural eyes to see that God is in everything. He speaks through everything. He communicates with us through everything. And if we will follow him, that path he will put us on will be so wonderful. Healing is just in that path. Joy is in that path. Everything good is right there in that path. You just can see those little signs that say joy. Fulfillment, all those things are just blinking on the path that he would put us on if we would only let him.
Right, right. And you know, part of what that brings to mind too is just like we have a naturally by the grace of God built-in immune system, spiritually we have the same thing if we'll allow it to work.
Exactly.
But you know, worry can be kind of like spiritual AIDS. It destroys our ability to defend ourselves spiritually. And so it's important for us to know we're not to allow worry to dominate us. And, you know, sometimes with some people, you hear them talk about, they just feel like, well, I have to worry. You know, I can't help but worry. They'll say that. And I heard one guy, he said his family, they were professional worriers. They'd worry about everything. And if you weren't worried, they worried about why you weren't worried, you know, about something. Well, we shouldn't be consumed with it. Yet if we allow it, it can be our life.
Exactly.
And we don't need to do that.
And when you allow God to show you things in your surroundings, he will never show you anything that will hold you bound. He will show you, if he show you a worm, he will show you what that worm is doing according to his will. If he shows you a spider, he will show you the purpose according to his will. Everything he will show you his purpose, not the enemy's purpose.
That's right.
And he will reveal the enemy's purpose for you to overcome that because you know it's a trap.
That's right. The thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I am coming that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Exactly.
Praise God. Praise God. And so learning to just not live in fear, such it's an important goal for every believer because it's easy if we'll allow ourselves to function fear. But again, we don't have, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Praise God. Let's look at one additional chapter before our time comes in. And this is chapter 11. It's entitled, A Cup of Coffee. I'm just going to share a part and I'll let you kind of pick up here. Father, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for letting me have this valuable time with my grandchildren. Thank you for the innocence they bring into the house. Thank you for the pure joy they bring in their talk and smiles. Father, take care of my family today in our comings and goings. These are the blessings I'm asking. In your name I pray. Amen. During the summer, our grandchildren come for the summer months. John and I enjoy having them in the house. There's never a moment without something unusual happening. Little Daryl always says something unusual and funny. We can never let him see us laugh at the things he says because he'll keep it up until he becomes tiring. Our other grandchild, Za, is always mature and sensible about the things he says. He also will lie if he thinks he can get away with it, get by with it. So I'm gonna stop reading. I'm gonna let you pick up and share.
Well, Ladarrell, I always take my grandchildren, and I say my favorite first grandson. That's Xadrian, and then Ladarrell is my favorite second grandson. So each one is my favorite.
Right, right.
But with Ladarrell, he doesn't want to eat breakfast. He didn't want to go outside after breakfast.
Okay.
So he decided that he would say, "Oh, Grandmama, I can't go out because this coffee is burning my heart." And so in the process, he was saying that to keep from doing anything. And then the other grandson, the oldest one, Xadrian, he would always, I told him, I said, you know, you will last. So I had to confront him with his last.
Right.
So it's a way, you know, God doesn't want us to take anything and cover it over. He wants us to confront it. So that's the process of that one.
Okay. And how many grandchildren do you have?
Four.
Four grandkids.
Yes.
And what are their ages now?
22, 17, 8, and 6.
Okay, then. A little Daryl, so.
He's the second one.
He's the second one, though. So hopefully his coffee's good to him now.
It's good to him now.
Okay. Okay, then. All right. Let's touch on one more chapter. This one is entitled Visitors, chapter 12. Lord, thank you for waking me this morning. Thank you for the lovely sunshine this morning and for giving me another chance to look upon its loveliness. Thank you for protecting my children as they travel the busy highways and freeways. Thank you for putting a shield of protection around and about them. Father, guide and protect us through this day. These are the blessings I'm asking in your name. Amen. The soup is boiling over and the phone is ringing. I woke to a cool and crisp morning. The sun is shining bright and throwing off a beautiful cast of rays through the trees. The birds are flying high in the sky. They are so high it seems as if they are disappearing in the sky. Only a small spot can be seen of them. The grass is wet from the light night fog. The flowers are still looking up to the sky. I'm going to stop reading there. But again, this is chapter 12 entitled Visitors. What would you say is some of the main truths you picked up in that or shared in that chapter?
Well, I had to ask for forgiveness again because while the visitors were there, my house was in total disarray. And I'm one of those people that like everything in place, everything. I don't like to see dust. Mm-hmm. I like to keep my house clean. Mm-hmm. I like to keep my baseboard. Everything has to be clean. Well, when the visitors were there, everything was out of place. Stuff was every place. And I was complaining. I was complaining. The enemy was trying to pull me back to complaining. So through the process, as I looked at the trees, as I looked at the flowers, praising God, no matter what was going on, everything going on around them, they still looked up to God. So I had to ask for forgiveness. And then I learned then not to try to clean up while they are there, but wait until they leave so I can enjoy the ones that's there, enjoy my children, enjoy my grandchildren. And then when they leave, I'll clean up. That's what I learned from that.
That's interesting. You know, I think of this, that like, of course, everybody's different and every individual, some people are immaculate housekeepers, and that sounds like with you being that way, you don't like it. See, you remind me of my wife, Birdie. She likes to keep the house just so, you know. So, but it's, I think of this too. I don't recall the author, but one author mentioned that trying to clean up when you have children in the home is like trying to shovel a snow off the sidewalk while it's snowing.
Exactly.
It's like an ongoing process to have to deal with.
Exactly.
You know? But learning to enjoy the goodness of God in spite of what's
in spite
going
of, on. Exactly. And through the process of this, with me wanting to keep everything in place, I was missing the joy of my children, and my sisters, and everyone being in my household. Rather than enjoying them, I was more concerned about keeping it clean.
Right, right. Well, our time is about completely gone. But again, the title of your book is My Daily Adventures with God. And tell our listeners one more time, if they want to get in touch with you, get it, how can they do that?
At 207 Road 1203, Nelaton, Mississippi. And they can call, the zip code is 38858. And they can call 662-963-2776 or 963-3805. Or they can get in contact with me on my Facebook.
Amen. A powerful and a wonderful book, a very encouraging devotional sort of book. Again, the title is My Daily Adventures with God by Herdesine Gorey. Thank you so much, Evangelist Herdesine, for being
with
us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, it's a privilege to have you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.